You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey Parson, Tony Zincata, Scott Engel, and myself taking another 2 hours. Fantasy BFFs, Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, come your way next. Let's get to the telephone calls here at 844-843-6879-844-84-FNTSY. And then we will go game by game, making our previews and predictions as we like to do each and every Friday. Kenny! What's going on, my friend?
How you doing, boy?
How you doing?
What's the deal, Kenny?
What's up, Tony? Scotty, fancy executive. Glad to hear you. Mr. Bishop Sankey, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, y'all, I got a trade that had been proposed to me. I'm going to run y'all down the trade. Mind you, we start three receivers and a flex and two running backs. All right, somebody proposing to me, they're giving me Deshaun Jackson, Zach Miller, and McKinnon for Booker.
Corey. Scotty.
I think they're giving you a lot of nothing there for Devontae Booker, who has a good matchup this week and still has a chance to prove that he can deserve the job. McKinnon's worthless. You got another guy who's hurt there. I think it's piling on a lot of quantity for maybe still what remains of some quality there.
Yeah, they're trying to snooker you here. Yeah. Basically, okay. You want to play Booker this week and use him. So you can't give up something. This is a week to week league. He's got a good matchup this week. Throw him out there. I was actually looking over my daily fantasy lineups, and I'm saying, man, I should probably have Booker in here somewhere, and I don't. So yeah, don't make this trade. They're trying to get you a whole bunch of crap there.
Nah, I appreciate it, fellas. Appreciate it. I'll be listening.
All right.
Have a good day, y'all.
There you go. Right. Let's get into the game-by-game action here, gentlemen. Yes, Scott, you'd like to read some tweets,
sorry.
I think, judging by your eyes.
I'm pulling up the AccuScore projection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's up.
All right, I was trying to read your mind, but
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I'm pulling up projections.
All right, we'll get to the AccuScore projections, because they were right last night with Steve Smith.
Yes.
That's pretty good. All right. We will start, gentlemen. Where should we start? How about we go with Green Bay and Tennessee? The Packers are in Tennessee this week. 4-4 are Green Bay, while the Tennessee Titans 4-5. They're 2-3 at home here on the year. Packers trying to climb up in the first place here in the NFC North. They are 2.5-point favorites on the road. Corey, what are you looking for in this game?
I'm in love with the way Davante Adams is playing football right now. He's the only one in that offense that's really getting separation.
You actually like Davante Adams more than Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery going forward.
Yes, I do. And Jordy Nelson.
You think Davante Adams is the number one guy in this Packers offense right now?
He's playing the best football.
Tony, where are you on that? Do you agree with him that Davante Adams?
I agree.
Okay, I
agree. He's getting the most targets in that offense. He's being used short, intermediate passes. When you look at the rest of these guys, seem like we're going deep to Jordy Nelson. That's the only time he gets the ball. Randall Cobb can't stay on the field, but he's a guy that mixes up, and I think he has the best big play ability. But Davante Adams, I think, is the safest guy out of the whole crew.
Okay. What else?
He's been terrific. You think if you look at it, the past month he's been a top eight fantasy wide receiver for the past
absolutely.
Month. So he's absolutely getting the job done. As far as that situation in the backfield, if you got to get involved with it, I understand. I'm not playing no Don Jackson, Ty Montgomery, the whole crew in action. It's going to be interesting to see if that Rishard Matthews loves continues this week for the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota also playing like a top quarterback. Listen, this is not a cakewalk. This is not going to be a cakewalk for the Green Bay Packers. I think the Titans come out and put up some fight. And Derrick Henry doesn't seem like he's as injured as we thought last week.
Yep.
So he's the guy that we're going to continue to watch for the rest of the weekend and see what his practice status is.
Scott, a lot of Davante Adams talk here as number one, theoretically, option, fantasy-wise, in Green Bay going forward. What does AccuScore have to say about Davante Adams?
I think AccuScore needs to get a little bit up to speed on Davante Adams, but they predict for Jordy Four catches.
Why are you giving
yards.
Me Jordy's numbers?
What?
Why are you giving me Jordy's numbers?
I think they only have Devontae for like 2 for 27.
Well, that's what we asked for.
It's like a Dontrelle Inman sort of situation.
So AccuScore is going to be wrong here.
I think they're not going to be right there. They sound accurate on the other receivers, but just not on Devontae Adams. Like they got Jordy Nelson 4 for 52. They got Randall Cobb 4 for 48. You know, that all sounds legitimate. The thing with the Packers wide receivers, mm-hmm. to me, is it really depends on who's open. It could be somebody different every week leading this crew.
Tony, what are you looking for in this game?
I'll give you one guy that's not on any fantasy radar. The Tennessee Titans are not doing a great job at covering the tight end, and you saw Richard mm-hmm, Rodgers involved mm-hmm. in the passing game last week. And whether you're playing daily or season-long, I think he has an ability to get you close to 10 fantasy points in PPR leagues without getting in the end zone. And there's always the bonus of getting in the end zone. And if you go back to last season, that's where he was featured, was in the goal line situation. So Richard Rodgers, to me, is a sneaky play at tight end if you don't like your tight end. James Starks is a guy I think you got to be hesitant on
yep.
With his first game back in the passing game. I think he'll be involved. I think if you have no choice, you use him. But if I have someone and I have a good record, I've been using someone else this. There's no way I put Starks in that lineup.
All right, let's make the predictions here. We'll start with you, Corey. Green Bay and Tennessee, who you like?
Give me the Green Bay Packers. I think the final score is 26-24.
Scotty?
I'm going to say Green Bay 24, Tennessee 20.
Tone?
Tennessee never looks great, but somehow they win some games. 23-20 Tennessee Titans.
I like that call, Tony.
I can get behind that because this team is not they're not playing bad football. And you look at what the offense is doing with Mariota, Rashad Matthews, these guys running the football well. Yeah, they got the home game. They're going to bring the fight. I just think Green Bay has their back against the wall right now, trying to scramble to get in and get good positioning for the playoff running the NFC. So I give them the slight edge, but I'm not saying anything negative about Tennessee at all.
All righty. The next game up, the Minnesota Vikings are in Washington this week. Washington's favored by 2.5 points. Tony, what are you looking for?
I was totally distracted because people keep texting me about Scott in the daytime. and it's an amazing thing. This game is tough to look at because Minnesota is a defense, but it hasn't played well the last 3 weeks, and we're seeing a little leak there. Washington wants to run the ball, as you mentioned earlier in the show, but they just never can. They're not very good at it. I think Rob Kelly is a guy you play. Because of volume, he's going to get an opportunity here, and he's going to get double-digit fantasy points. I said that I think Jordan Reed's going to get more targets than ever this week. I think they're going to throw the ball 5 yards down the field. They're not going to get the ball downfield. And I like Chris Thompson, and I like Jordan Reed to pick up the DeSean Jackson targets.
Okay. Scotty, what are you looking for here this week?
I'm looking for Rob Kelly to have a pretty good game based on what they say. I don't think Washington's going to change what they do. Based on the, what we believe to be the Minnesota defense here, they're still going to throw the ball. Jameson Crowder's still going to have his floor. On the other side, it's probably going to be Josh Norman against Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of concerned about Stephon Diggs' production this week.
You think, really? Yeah. Josh Norman is that good in your opinion?
I think one-on-one against Diggs, I think he can limit his upside.
Greg.
Yes, sir.
Matt Asiata,
yes.
Jerick McKinnon, Ronnie Hillman, who I dialed Major Holler.
Yes, you did.
Excuse me, on the waiver wire earlier this week. Excuse me, fellas. A little hoarse just now. Washington has given up 12 rushing touchdowns on the season. That is second in the NFL. And Matt Asiata has a nose for the goal line. I wouldn't be scared away from him this week.
I agree with you.
I know it's nothing that you're not going to be excited about, but hold your nose, throw him in your lineup. I got him in some lineups this week. So I think the But as far as anything else with that, Sam Bradford, Stephon Diggs, temper your expectations with those guys because it's going to be pretty tough because I think Washington is going to come to play this week. They're in a fight, and we're seeing the Minnesota Vikings self-destruct. But I think outside of getting some touchdowns out of those backs, it's tough to trust anybody on Minnesota Vikings right now. And Diggs also, even though he has a daunting matchup with Josh Norman.
All right, what do you think?
Diggs is a hometown guy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so there you go right there.
Big spot.
That's intangibles that Scott always talks about.
He does.
Yeah, when a guy going to play his hometown, you know, he's in a revenge game, they'll say, you know, we want to get this guy the ball.
Yeah,
you know,
he's going
to
have family.
It means a lot to him, you know, to do it in front of his hometown. I've seen that before.
Yeah.
So what do you
I'm
guys
a big
think
Dustin Hopkins guy this week as well, if you guys need kicker talk.
Good point.
You look
he's
at,
playing in his hometown.
Hopkins is good no matter where he is. He's one of the top kickers. And, you know, him, Matt Bryan, Josh Lambeau have been underrated all year.
Hey, what's your prediction, Corey?
I would say give me the D.C. football team 21-17.
Tone.
24-16, Washington Redskins.
Minnesota needs a win. Minnesota 21, Washington 20.
Okay. I like that.
There you go. There you go.
Sam Bradford with a game-winning drive in D.C.?
Yeah, it'll be his only touchdown of the game.
Throwing
his defensive touchdown.
To Stephon Diggs, the hometown boy.
There you go.
Asiata touchdown and a Diggs touchdown.
Okay.
There you go.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He'll only have two catches for 44 yards.
The Bucs are home against Chicago this week. Scotty, Tampa is favored by a. I'm sorry, Tampa are underdogs by a point to the Chicago Bears. I know Corey seems bewildered by that
I
fact.
Do.
What are you thinking of this game?
Nobody allows more points to fantasy wide receivers than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Chicago is very close. They're about fifth. So we could see some good games for the wide receivers. You like Alshon Jeffrey this week. You obviously like Mike Evans no matter what the matchup is.
Sorry.
It'd be interesting to see if you need a desperation play how Adam Humphries will kind of fit into this. Jay Cutler is a good streamer. I like Jameis Winston. There's not a divisional game. Sometimes you see a divisional game like Kansas City, Oakland, and you know you say, oh, you know, Oakland let them have all these passing yards, but divisional games may be lower scoring because of the familiarity. These teams are not divisional, so this could end up being a good pass shootout. You might see Zach Miller do something, Cameron Brate do something. So I like both teams in the air.
It's a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
All right. Core.
I agree with Scotty on this one. I don't know why the Buccaneers would be the underdog in this competition, though. But I think every offensive piece is in play. But the Bears' backfield, is intriguing. What the Bears do at running back. I don't know if I feel comfortable playing any Bears running back this week. Tampa is stout in their front seven, but they struggle on the back end mightily. So, yeah, definitely most of the healthy and relevant offensive pieces are in play this week.
Right.
But it's all in the passing game. I'm not too keen on any of these teams' running attack. And it's going to be interesting to see what happened to Doug Martin. But like we said, if he does play, he's limited at best. But my guy, Jameis Winston, they'll rack him up for 3 touchdown passes this week. I guarantee it.
By the way, yeah. Tampa Bay has the 24th ranked rush defense in the NFL. They allow just under 118 rushing yards per game.
How many touchdowns are they giving up?
8.
Tony?
I'll give you one guy that I think people will forget about this week, and he hasn't done anything with Cutler at quarterback. Cameron Meredith is forgotten about after a couple weeks stint.
Yep.
It's a great passing matchup. He's a guy that you can use in this week. I got him down for 14 fantasy points this week in PPR leagues.
So, I like that one.
Cameron Meredith is there. I have Zach Miller as a guy. If you don't include Greg Olson, Jordan Reed, And our guy Rob Gronkowski, I have the next tight end on the board, Zach Miller, in this contest.
All right, let's make some predictions here, guys. What are you thinking, Tony?
I got Tampa Bay, too. I don't understand the whole spread in this game. I got Tampa Bay 27, and I have the Chicago Bears 24.
Scotty?
I think it comes down to which quarterback's going to make the mistake in the late going, and I think it's more likely to be Cutler than Winston. I'm going to say Tampa Bay 34. And Chicago 30.
That's a big number. That 34. Yeah. Give me the Bucks. Give me the Bucks and my guy Winston. I like him 27-20. I think Jay Cutler throws a pick trying to come down and tie the game. How about that, Greg? I'm giving you scenarios.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much.
I can see it.
It's very nice of you. The Philadelphia Eagles are at home this week against the Atlanta Falcons. You not like them? Yeah, the Falcons are 2-point favorites in Philly, Corey.
I actually might go to this game, man, now that you mentioned that. I was talking about this with my brother-in-law last night.
Oh, that's right. You can go to this game. Is your girl from the A-Town?
No, she's not coming up.
Okay.
No.
Craig, we have a policy that we, unlike you,
yes.
You know, you're in a happy relationship
yes.
and stuff.
Yes.
We try not to mention women on this show.
It's all good.
I apologize. I didn't know the rules.
It's all good.
I didn't know the rules.
I'm like looking at the phone, like, hope she's asleep. So,
I apologize.
In what regard, though? We were just talking about coming home from the strip club.
Oh, my goodness.
That's fine. That's on me.
That's all good.
I'm sorry.
Still buddies. You know, obviously, the Atlanta Falcons offense is in a good spot this week. They're always in a good spot, so I'm always in on the Falcons offense. On the Philadelphia side of the football, though, who's going to step up, Tone, to be able to take some of this work that the Atlanta Falcons give up as far as touchdowns and as far as how they get dominated, their defense, their secondary gets dominated by the other team's wideouts? We've seen nothing from Dorial Green-Beckham, nothing from Nelson Aguilar. Zach Ertz seemed like he might be getting ready to turn that corner. Do you think that DGB and Nelson Aguilar are decent plays this week, Tone?
I don't, and this is the problem, because the Atlanta defense is so fantasy worthy. You can go and line up against them with every team, right? And this Philadelphia team's one of the, you know, record wise, one of the top teams in the league. But there's no confidence in this offense. We just saw 46 passes from Carson Wentz, and I think he's a decent play for fantasy owners this week. But am I going to say that Jordan Matthews is put up a big game? He's not going to, unless he gets into the end zone. Darren Sproles has been the guy that's getting the most run at the running back position. I think it's a great matchup for Ryan Matthews to run right at them, but they haven't shown the ability there. Would it shock me if Wendell Smallwood gets 10 touches in this game? Absolutely not. So I think from a fantasy perspective, the only guy that it interests me is Darren Sproles because of reliability, and I'm looking at a cap of him of like 17 fantasy points, and I expect him to get around 13 there. But Beckham, I get him down at 7 points. Nelson Aguilar, I get him down at 7 points. Like, there's nothing here to love. And the big question is going to be Zach Ertz. I think a lot of people are going to go back to the well with him. I don't have the confidence in this offense to go back to the well. And I look at guys like Zach Miller, and I think he's light years ahead of a guy like Zach Ertz, and they're the same salaries in daily fantasy. And this is a tough call with this Philadelphia offense. Yeah. It's not good at all.
Here's one thing about the Atlanta defense. Although they rank 31st, I hear what Tony's saying, because can we assume anything in this matchup? Because Carson Wentz doesn't always do good under pressure. And let's not forget that, for bad as they are, Atlanta does get some pressure. They do have 20 sacks, so we can't just look at the matchup and assume somebody's going to have a big game here. The one guy that I'm keeping my eye on, because you say Nelson Aguilar, Dorial Green-Beckham, you know, Corey, these guys are Bigfoot, like you say. Yeah. We've heard a lot about them, and we haven't seen anything. Bryce Treggs showed last week that he can be involved in the passing game. This is a guy to keep an eye on. I wouldn't use him this week.
Would you put him in a tournament lineup?
I just said I would use him this week, but there's a kid I want to watch.
May I ask you this?
If he can build on that game, here's an opportunity.
What does the AccuScore projections have of Bryce Treggs? No, don't say that.
No, Bryce Treggs is a guy that I'm going to be watching this week.
Okay. My point, my secret sauce. When I look at this game, they will remain nameless until they cut me a check.
Yep.
Has Jordan Matthews for 17 points.
I like Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I can see Matthews having a good game this week.
That makes more sense.
But out of the secondary guys, Green Beckham and Aguilar just not doing it. Maybe there's an opportunity for Streggs to become a secondary receiver.
I think one of these dudes has to do something this week. It's not all going to. It's not the whole thing. It's not going to be Matthews and Ertz. You know what I'm saying? They're projected to score 24 points this week. The Philadelphia Eagles are so. I mean,
That's why all these guys are cheap, because you pay for predictability, and there's none on this team. There's no predictability at all.
We've said it earlier in the season, too, with Alex Smith. Just because there's a good matchup out there, not everybody can take advantage of it.
Let's make some predictions, guys.
Carson Wentz is a stream, Greg?
So we talked about this, right? Carson Wentz and Trevor Siemian and Joe Flacco and all these guys. I think Carson Wentz is an option. He's not my favorite option.
Okay.
Let's make some predictions here in this game, Corey.
Give me the Atlanta Falcons to keep the good times rolling. Give me Atlanta 28. Give me Atlanta 31. Give me Philadelphia 26.
Corey? Tony. Excuse me.
27 for Atlanta, and for the Philadelphia Eagles, a 20 in this contest.
I'm going to say Atlanta 26, Philadelphia 13.
Ooh.
Ooh. Interesting.
Really, Scott?
What about Bryce Treggs?
Yeah, but you don't think at home Carson Wentz has the weaponry to score more than 16 points against the Atlanta Falcons? Defense.
I think he tops out at 16.
Okay. All right.
I just don't see it. I feel like again, you know, there's a matchup, but sometimes teams don't always have what it takes to take advantage
of that matchup. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Kansas City's in Carolina. Your boy Cam Newton, Corey, is a 3-point favorite at home against Kansas City.
Yeah, he should be. This is the team, I think, the team is starting to get ready to get rolling. I think they get the W this week. This right here is a good spot for Greg Olsen. The offense runs through Greg Olsen. So Cam Newton not having the best season, but I think he's going to start to get it going as we start to move along for the Carolina Panthers. So Olsen, Benjamin, definitely the top guys in play. Jonathan Stewart, I'm never going to tell you to play Jonathan Stewart, but okay. You know that he's probably going to get it done because he seems to do that. He's a touchdown scorer. Cam obviously getting less of that work in the end zone. On the other side of the football, I mean, you go back to Alex Smith, you go back to game management, but you get a healthy Spencer Ware, and that's kind of where they should go. But obviously, we know Carolina's stout up front, so Spencer Ware with a big PPR game, I can see that coming, and hopefully we can get some Travis Kelce love this week, fellas, because I need him,
Scotty.
Kansas City has a 26th-ranked run defense, allowing 124.5 rushing yards per game. So Jonathan Stewart is a pretty good start. They've only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns, though. They're one of those kind of defenses that kind of crunches up when you get right near that stripe. But still, you know, I think you like Jonathan Stewart to a certain degree this week. That'll set up some play action, and I like Olsen, like he was saying. Kelvin Benjamin, a solid wide receiver, to start pretty much every week. On the other side of the ball, we're just talking about the Philadelphia situation. Here's a matchup. We know how bad Carolina's defense against the pass, but this is not a team that can take advantage of it. But they can't get Spencer Ware out in space, even if he's not getting the rushing yards. This sets up as a good matchup for Carolina on paper, but Kansas City is opportunistic on defense. They've been picking off a lot of balls, all throughout the season. So, this game could be lower scoring and kind of close, I think.
Tony.
This whole story of this game is the wide receivers. What do you do? The Carolina secondary has been absolutely brutal. Do you want to overanalyze the matchup? I am actually using Tyreek Hill in the lineup because of the DeSean Jackson injury. I think he's a boom or bust guy. I hate going with those guys. Their team total is only 20 in this one because of the offense. Albert Wilson, like I said, the guys at Tilly Roto like him the best out of that group. I think Chris Carlin to me is the safest, but I'm going to use Tyreek Hill and I'm going to try to play for a big play.
Yep.
And they've let up big touchdowns, this Carolina defense.
Let's make predictions here. Tony, I'll start with you.
Carolina continues to roll. I look for them to take this game at 24-20.
Okay. What about you, Scott?
I'm going to say Carolina 17, Kansas City 14.
Corey?
23-16, Carolina Panthers.
I'm going to take KC here in an upset.
Ooh.
Yeah.
On the road.
On the road. I like Kansas City. I've said all along to you, Scotty, and I think Kansas City is toward the top of the class of the AFC.
Because we were looking at 1-3-6 and the other 6-2, right?
I'm not looking at that. I just think
I'm saying that we think in our minds that like Carolina's at home. We still have thinking back to that they were good. But, Kansas City's been the better team so far, so it's not a shock.
It's not
a shock of what you're saying is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
To me, Kansas
City. Amazing. Yeah. That's the amazing thing about the NFL and the parity, right?
Yeah.
When you think of the records, we have a 3-point favorite on a 3-5 team.
Yeah. To me, Kansas City has just been a better team all year. Carolina, I just haven't been impressed with them. All right, when we come back here on the Road Rush for the morning, we've got a hell of a lot more games to get to, including the Rams and the Jets, and a good one between the Broncos and the Saints. We'll pick them next here on the Road Experts. Predictions here on the Roto Experts in the morning. We got a bunch more games to get to. Let's roll right into it, gentlemen. The Rams and the Jets, Tony. The Jets are favored in this game by 1.5. Case Keenum, still the starting quarterback for Los Angeles. Ryan Fitzpatrick, still the starting quarterback for the Jets. This should be a barn burner.
Yeah, this is the lowest total on the day.
39.5.
Yeah. Today's NFL, that's actually, you know, record proportions having a game in the 30s. This used to be something that was common, but nowadays it isn't. I don't love anyone in this game. By any, like, I don't go that way, but Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall, they've been playing so well going forward. The problem is, the reason why I like Marshall is that they're good against the run, but Matt Forte catches the ball out of backfield, so you can't neglect him, and he's going to get the goal line carry. So I think both these guys are in play. If you own them, you have to play them. And those are the only two guys that I feel like you own. But the St. Louis situation is you can have a wild St. Louis, the L.A. Rams, going old school there with the St. Louis Rams. The Jets secondary is absolutely terrible. If I was going to pick one receiver, I would go on Kenny Britt, and I think Lance Kendricks is in play as well, the tight end position.
I agree both those things.
Yep. It seems like it's pretty simple on this one. Is Britt, is Kendricks. Is it Case Keenum? Listen.
Seriously?
You could have something with Case Keenum. I wouldn't do it.
He won me a lot of money in a game this year earlier against the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you look at the matchup, it's set up. The only difference being between him, the Detroit Lions secondary, he lit up, is that the Jets do have a pass rush. So I wouldn't go crazy with him.
And that makes sense.
Feel like he can get benched at any point, but I don't know.
Fisher said that Jared Goff's not going to play until they're out of it.
He's not Hugh Jackson. Scotty, you got me thinking about Scotty. Scott, I got to ask one question, and I'm going to try not to derail the program for long. Scott, are there certain places that you wouldn't go? Like, when you travel the country, like, I went into a strip joint one time, and they it wasn't totally nude. Like, they kept their top on, or, like, it was more like a bikini bar situation. And I'm like, no, I ain't doing this. This is like being a pervert. So I didn't go in, and I told my friends to meet me at the bar after. Would you go into a situation that wasn't totally nude?
I like it less, but if I'm in a group and I'm all going there, I'll go with it. But
really?
You know, if like it's just me and a friend and I was solo, it's like, you know, okay, we'll just keep looking.
Now, Scott, may I just ask how often or regularly do you attend these clubs?
You know, not much anymore, but it used to be like, I would say once every like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, so it's a couple times a year.
Yeah, but you know what though, I had enough experience doing it that, like, you know, when I knew I knew the game plan, you know. And
you describe the game plan?
Please, I want to hear this game plan.
I'd like to hear the game plan. I'd like to hear the game plan. Well, I don't know the game plan.
Here's the thing.
Forget this PPR.
You know what? It doesn't really matter. The Jets and the Rams, whatever. Nobody cares anyway.
See, the game plan is you only go once every, like, 4 to 6 months.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't want the novelty and the excitement of it to wear off, number one.
Okay.
And number two, it can get to be very expensive, too.
Well, sure, sure.
You know, not all of us are, like, you know, rolling in that kind of thing, whereas, like, you know, where you can go regularly. When you go, though, it's like, I would say never sit up by the bar because, you know, then they're going to come over and ask you, every single girl is going to ask you for a dollar.
Right.
And, you
know, that's their job.
Yeah, but no, but
they got their titties out, so.
No, what I'm saying is, I know that's their job, but, you know, a lot of them have the bars, but they also have, like, seating away from the bar. So you're spending, you're spending less money that way. Okay? But also, it's like, sometimes the one that looks the best and the most ideal doesn't always give the best dance. It's like, you know, it's just kind of a feel thing where, like, if a girl's warmer or something like that, or she's just more into it, or how she knows to be just, like, more warm with you, I think you get a better dance. And you have to learn the art about how to say no, too, because sometimes if you just come out and say no or say nothing, the dancers get insulted.
You might hurt their feelings.
They do get openly insulted.
I
like to sit back and wait. I don't want to jump on the first thing. I want to sit back, scout everything out. You know, it's kind of like,
see, the AccuScore projects.
Exactly. scout everything out. You know, and then, you know, you kind of get a feel for, like, okay, do you want to wait and get that one, or maybe someone comes up to you and she's just very warm and you just feel it.
All right.
Now let me ask you this, because I've also wondered this, right? Like, you go to the strip club, and it's like, you're there to be teased, right? For the most part, you were there to be teased.
That's why I love
it. How is that fun?
I love it. I just love the art of the tease. I think it's great.
right, no.
Really, let me ask you a question. What's involved in a good dance? Like you mentioned a good dance. Would it be because she reveals more clothing, there's more friction during the dance, or actually maybe a tug or two? Like, what is a good dance?
I think it depends on who you are, but I would say for anybody, I think, again, it's that feel. It's just like if a girl like sits, if a girl just comes over and goes, "You want to dance?" You know, like that. You don't want to go back. You
hey,
don't want to
daddy,
get a dance from us.
You want to dance,
no.
Daddy?
When you get somebody who sits on your lap, she talks to you, maybe she coos in your ear a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know, she's warm. She's going to give you a good dance. She's going to make
it's
sure.
It's all part of the job. It's all fake.
No, but what I'm saying is, even though it's fake, we all know that. You know, you go in there for the illusion of it. There'll be girls that just come up and say, "You want to dance? Let's go." You know, it's like that's not the one you want. It's like what Tony says. What's a good dance? That kind of girl who sits down on your lap and she coos in your ear, and then like you know,
it's got some of the coo in the ear.
You're so fine, King.
That's why I always love you.
I love you, Your Highness.
Yeah, I get that at home too. But you know, to answer Tony's question, though, it's like that same sort of art during the dance where like you know she's like. She's like in tune with you. You know, it's like, how do you explain? She's in tune with you. She's not just going through the motions. Even though it's not real, like you say.
Yes.
And you should be into it because wrestling isn't real either. You know, but she's in tune with you. You know, like I think there's actually.
Do you know you're also not a king, by the way?
There's actually like. You know, I think sometimes, you know, some of these girls are better at what they do than others. And if they're in tune with you, she's good at it. She knows how to make this, you know, I don't want to use art as a word, but she knows how the feel for it. She's intuitive.
Really honest with you. I think Scott goes to the Gentleman's Club more than 3 times a year.
I don't know, Scott. I wish I could, but I can't.
Scott, I'm not one to question your honesty, but I think Greg is right on this. Maybe not anymore, but you have a vast amount of experience I think we can rely on.
I do because in the past I've gone a lot more often. These days I don't. Yeah. These days I don't, but in the past I've gotten
now,
a lot
have you been
more
to a,
often.
Have you been to a Gentleman's Club with your son?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not ready for that yet.
I don't know if I want him to go that route.
Okay.
I don't think he wants to go that route.
Okay.
And I tell you a story off the air that I'd not share with listeners. Not about my personal business. Not about my son, but I've been to the strip club with somebody else. Very interesting.
Okay.
Whoa. Okay. Jesus, the listeners right now have just been deprived.
All right, you know what?
Give it to us.
Oh, here we go.
She's not listening.
She's not listening.
I've been to the strip club with my wife more than once.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
You told me that.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's not something that I would want to share on air, but when you get a dance from a girl and both your wife and the girl are like tune with you.
He is a king.
It's a marvelous experience.
Look at that.
Yeah. So, Scotty, with that being said, who do you think will win, the Jets or the Rams?
See, this is why I could see Greg hanging at the FSTA conventions. I've tried to go to the Gentlemen's Club at the FSTA.
He went right back to the Gentlemen's. You see, he not even want to talk football no more.
Yeah.
He went
right back to the Gentlemen's. Crap enough, Fitzpatrick.
Greg is the kind of guy who used to be like the FSTA convention. We'd be sitting in there, and gorgeous girls coming over, and they'd be going, "So, who do you like as a sleeper in Kansas City?" I'm like, "Shut up!" You know, it's just like I love fantasy as much as you, but you know. But anyhow.
That's argument. So he doesn't look at his team until 7:30.
You know, Jets and the Rams. From a fantasy perspective, I think I like Kenny Britt with his size and his technique.
Kenny Britt's visited the strip club many times.
against the Jets secondary. Obviously, we're worried about Gurley. I think Lance Kendricks has really come on recently, and he's in tune with Case Keenum. So those are two guys that I like from the Jets perspective. I think with the Rams have a ferocious front seven, especially a front wall, and the Jets have been having some issues on the offensive line, so I think this can be a low-scoring game.
And we talked about...
I think Bilal Powell's going to be very big part of the game, though, because when that pressure's coming, Fitzpatrick's going to have to dump it off to Powell.
And I got Powell in some lineups this week, too. Greg.
Yes, sir.
The Los Angeles Rams defense. We talked about them yesterday on Next Week in Fantasy.
Well, it airs tonight, so we talk about it tonight.
We talked about them on we talk about them on Next Week in Fantasy as a defense that is a good stream this week, mainly because of the thing Scotty said, that that front seven and Ryan Fitzpatrick's his ability to turn the football over.
Make a prediction quickly here, please. Corey, I'll start with you.
Give me the New York Jets. Give me the New York Jets 19 and Los Angeles Rams 17.
Tony.
I got the New York Jets 17, the Rams 14.
Scott?
I got New Jersey
20. You really? I'm so bothered by this.
And,
it broke his heart.
And I got Anaheim 14.
Anaheim.
That's interesting. That's the L.A. Coliseum. Is that Anaheim? Is it actually in Anaheim?
I don't believe so.
I don't think it is.
I believe it's in L.A.
None of us are West Coast guys.
Yeah. We're not. Okay. What's the next game up here? The Saints and the Broncos. This is what I really wanted to talk about.
It's a good one.
The Saints are favored by 3 points in this game. Broncos offense has been struggling. Defense looks to be without Aqib Talib, perhaps potentially again. Tony, what are you seeing here?
The whole thing is, which running back do you believe in, or do you believe in them both? I think Mark Ingram goes ahead of Tim Hightower this week as far as your fantasy rankings based on his play and the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield in this one. So I like that. The wide receiver, how do you stop playing Michael Thomas, right? Each and every week, he's putting up numbers. But I really think this is going to be a tough game for New Orleans because it's going to do something it won't. Everybody loves Drew Brees at home, and he can't help himself. He loves the statistical numbers. I think he has a decent game, but he doesn't go crazy. And the Denver side of things, I like Booker. I think a lot of people are going to jump off the bandwagon because of his poor play. People talking about a change at the running back. I think he's a guy that you have to put in this game. I'm not in love with Trevor Siemian, but even in a poor performance, he gets 15 fantasy points, which isn't bad in this one. And I don't like the wide receivers in this contest. To me, it's down to Booker. And then I like Ingram over Hightower on the offensive side.
I'm rolling with Tony. I agree with Tony. A lot of the comments he made, a lot of things he said just now. Your New Orleans Saints, you get them involved. You get them out there. I am sitting Willie Snead this week.
Okay.
I don't think this sets up well for Willie Snead. I think you see all the other pieces around. I think Willie Snead has a good chance that he gets taken out of this game. But we like Michael Thomas. Obviously, you're playing Brandon Cooks. The running backs are both in play this week. On the Denver Broncos side of the football, I'm going right back to Devontae Booker. Full confidence in the situation. Capri Bibbs, if you want to do that, that I am not recommending that, even though you may hear later on tonight that I am. It was a little mix-up. Definitely am on Devontae Booker and not Capri Bibbs this week. So, but if you have to play Bibbs, I understand if you're in that kind of situation. Also, streaming Trevor Siemian is something that may be a popular thing this week. I think I would go Carson Wentz over Trevor Siemian. I would go Brock Osweiler over Trevor Siemian. And I'll go Jay Cutler over Trevor Siemian all this week. If I am streaming a quarterback, I think that I don't know if Trevor Siemian gets it done in the streaming category. They're going to try to run the football, and that's it.
This is why that's what Corey just said. This is the most compelling game to me from a fantasy analyst perspective, because you got one team that throws the ball so well against a good pass defense, and then you got another team that doesn't throw the ball well against the worst pass defense in the league. And like I've said, there's good matchups like with Atlanta, but there's quarterbacks who can't take advantage of it. I think when you stream Trevor Siemian, you're doing yourself a disservice as a fantasy player because you're only looking at the defense. And just like I say on the other side, by default, when a good offensive player is facing a good defense, the defense doesn't always win. It's the reverse, too. When there's a good matchup, the offensive player can't always take advantage. I'm not streaming Siemian.
Yep.
I agree with what Tony said. About streaming the Booker, because I think scheme-wise they want to play ball control and keep that New Orleans offense off the field as much as possible. And Devontae Booker is going to be motivated and have a fire lit under him after, you know, what his coaches said publicly. I do like Emmanuel Sanders. On the other side of the ball, look, Denver has the fourth worst run defense in the league right now, averaging 128.6 rushing yards per game. I think you can comfortably start both of those New Orleans running back as flexes. I think with Michael Thomas getting a lot of defensive attention and maybe Brandon Cooks, this could be a sneaky game for Colby Fleener.
I think 17 is that number you want to hit in a 4-point touchdown pass league. If you're streaming, I think that number you want to hit is that 17 to 20 range.
Yep.
Trevor Siemian has done that twice this season. one in week three versus at Cincinnati when he threw four touchdown passes, and then again last week in a game where he had 21 fantasy points where he threw two touchdown passes. So I think it's better options to stream out there.
Trevor Siemian has five touchdown passes in his last five games.
Make your prediction, Scott.
Prediction, New Orleans 27, Denver 19.
Tone?
I like Denver 30, and I like the New Orleans Saints 20.
Mm.
I think there'll be a few turnovers in this one too.
Corey,
I'm on board with Tony. I go Denver Broncos 30, New Orleans Saints 29.
All righty, we have, I believe, one more 1 o'clock game. It's Texans and the Jaguars. The Jaguars, Tony Sincotti, your Jacksonville Jaguars are favored by 2 points in this game. What is going on? Why?
Vegas.
Vegas knows.
You know what? I actually like the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you want a cheap defense in this one, to go ahead and put into your play with Brock Osweiler and some possibilities of turnovers. If the Jaguars could score and control the ball with Chris Ivory, I think you get an opportunity there to make Brock Osweiler throw, and you could get some cheap fantasy points. I like Allen Robinson in this game for anywhere from 13 to 17 fantasy points there. I think Chris Ivory is a guy definitely playable. I think he gets 15 touches in this game. I don't want to throw a whole lot of guys in this contest into any fantasy lineup, whether it's daily or weekly. But DeAndre Hopkins, are people forgetting, he's going to have the ability in this game to get deep. I think you could put him in for 17 to 21 fantasy points. He's the one guy to me that stands out in this contest.
Question, Tony. When I throw this stat out there, you use confidence in Jacksonville as you originally seemed to be. Under a defensive-minded head coach, Jacksonville has a league-low 3 interceptions.
Yeah, that's a bad number, and they have a lot of inexperience in the secondary. That being said, if they have a contest when they can make Brock Osweiler throw the ball, I think there's an opportunity there for some turnovers. The defense definitely is underachieved. It's the second highest paid defense in the league, and it's doing nothing. They have a great cornerback at first, a first-round pick that's played very well, but they haven't made the big plays. That's why they have the record they have.
Scotty,
you could run on both of these teams. Houston has given up the fifth most rushing yards to anybody. 125.8 rushing yards per game. 10 touchdowns allowed on the ground. I think Jacksonville showed they want to have more offensive balance than last week. Using Chris Ivory for his best game of the year, I think Ivory is a play again this week. They want to make Blake Bortles throw a little bit less if they can. But Houston, can also run the ball as well because Jacksonville gives up the ninth most rushing yards at 117.9. So Lamar Miller, obviously a good start. You want to take pressure off of Osweiler here. I think both of these coaches are going to tell their quarterbacks, don't make mistakes here. Houston is a good defense too, though, because of all the turnovers that Brock Osweiler, makes. I mean, I'm sorry, that Blake Bortles tends to make.
Make a prediction, Scott.
I'm going to say Houston 19, Jacksonville 16.
Tony?
I am going to go with Houston 20, the Jacksonville Jaguars 17.
I'm going to take Jacksonville to win this game. Vegas knows something that we don't. Just leave it at that. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, well, we have even more games to get to. All the 4 o'clock games, including Miami, San Diego, Pittsburgh, and Dallas. And Sunday Night Football, Patriots and Seahawks. We'll do it all before the top of the hour. Comes your way next here on the Roto Experts. We'll run along, get through the last few games here. If you want to participate in our poll, do it at FNZSY Radio, Corey.
Hey, I was upstairs in Rockin' Rollins just now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's it's a bachelorette party weekend, a bachelorette party.
40?
It's a bachelorette party weekend.
Right.
So you got to
breakfast. Breakfast, don't they? Yeah. They're in New York City. They're going to have breakfast.
So they,
it was a Friday. I was wondering if they started early. Those are women that I would love to meet her at 10 p.m.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. So, man, I had to go to the gentleman's this weekend because you got some potential. Besides the young lady that'll be getting married, you got some potential action right here in town. It looked to be like it's a 30 some 30 somethings. You know what I'm saying? So, I saw them in Rock and Rally.
How did I look?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was running fantasy executive, had to get back down here and help my fantasy owners.
Absolutely.
But I saw a little action, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is it worth checking out during the next break?
If you can catch them up there, I think everybody would be satisfied.
Okay. Let's get back to some NFL stuff here.
Yes, yeah.
Participate in our poll at FNTSY Radio. You'll see what it is when you get there. All right. The next game up. 4 o'clock, Miami in San Diego, gentlemen. I'll start with you, Tony. Sorry about that.
This is a game that intrigues the crap out of me because I think it could be a high-scoring game. But yet, Las Vegas, you look at the point totals, right? For the San Diego Chargers, 27 points in this game, and yet we keep getting injury after injury. Travis Benjamin, the latest guy to be thought to be out for this one. Melvin Gordon, all the offense goes through to him. So whether you're playing daily fantasy or you're playing season-long, I look for 25 fantasy points for him. That's a big number in a PPR league for a running back. Terrell Williams, again, last week we had the speculation with the knee injury, forget about it. Even if he hasn't practiced this week, he'll be ready to go, and you can get 17 fantasy points from him. Again, I think we're going to look at the tight end position because of Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates. I think they offset each other, but the floor is low. I think you can pencil them both in for 10 fantasy points. That I think that makes them both of these guys fantasy rosterable, especially with the injuries to wide receivers.
Like Melvin going a lot this week, as Tone said, you know what I mean? And like, and this is going to be a high-scoring, helter-skelter-style game, in my opinion, where we see a lot of these things go on. Jay Ajayi is the Miami Dolphins' entire offense right now, so I think you continue to sit him out there. Jarvis Landry, you want to check the injury situation with him. Maybe you get more from Devontae Parker. They keep saying this kid is going to start playing better in the second half of the season, but I have yet to see it. I would never am I ever going to put Ryan Tannehill anywhere near my lineups.
Yep.
And I think that you should not do that either. And this is like the first week that I'm really like in on Melvin Gordon. I would play Melvin Gordon over Le'Veon Bell this week, even though I think Le'Veon Bell has a good matchup. I'm talking about DFS purposes.
Yep.
You know Zeke stays in my lineup for DFS because of his volume. And the San Diego Chargers wide receiver, I hate to say, you know, their situation is helter-skelter. It's all over the place with the Chargers. But Williams and Inman in the mix. Tony said he thinks it's enough of a floor for both tight ends. I agree with that, but I would temper expectations. I have Hunter Henry in a lineup this week. No real injury concerns outside of Jarvis Landry in this game. Phil Rivers is a rock. You go with him. So I think it all sets up perfectly as far as the prediction. 27-21.
Alrighty, Scott Engel.
San Diego.
I got you.
Superchargers.
I got you.
You can run on both these teams.
Yep.
Miami allows 136 rushing yards per game, which is second worst in the NFC. Only the Browns give up more rushing yards per game. So Melvin Gordon's obviously chalk. Miami's better against the pass, but I think that's because team can run on them. You know, you look at that secondary, and you know Byron Maxwell is like a shell of what he used to be. So you know, I think you like Tyrell Williams this week. You like Antonio Gates. You know, on the other side of the ball, you can run against San Diego. Don't just look at the yardage allowed. They have fifth best in yardage allowed, 85.3, but they've also allowed an NFL-high 13 rushing touchdowns. So even if Ajayi doesn't get the yardage, he's going to get in the end zone. If Jarvis Landry's not in here, it's very hard to predict who's going to step forward in this Miami passing game, but I would think Kenny Stills.
Tony, for DFS purposes, if Landry doesn't play, do any of these guys make any of your lineups, Parker or Stills?
No, I think there's too much top-end wide receivers. I mean, we've mentioned the names Alshon Jeffrey all morning. You're looking at Mike Evans all morning that they don't. But if you needed a cheap flyer, I could see going down and taking a shot on one of these guys. But to me, Devontae Parker, $4,300, is a little too expensive. So I think if you're going to look and you're going to put any $3,700, like I have Robert Kelly in one of my flex position at $3,600. If Landry was out, Kenny Stills might be a better play at $3,700.
Make your prediction, Scott.
I don't think Miami has the firepower to keep up, ultimately. I'm going to say San Diego 34-20.
All righty, moving on over. Next up, 4 o'clock Sunday. Go to the Cardinals and the 49ers. Let's make this one quick here,
yeah.
Corey.
Big 14-point favorite for the Arizona Cardinals. David Johnson is in play, obviously. David Johnson is the man. Another great DFS play this week. You pay the price for him, you pay up. He's going to have a big-time performance. Nothing to talk about, really. You know, Arizona side, you know Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, J.J. Nelson, all in play. Now, when you look at San Francisco, boy, I tell you, this is a situation where they can really get beat down. DeJuan Harris is the guy that comes up if Carlos Hyde is out. If you're playing DeJuan Harris this week, I think you have to be in a situation where you are desperation, because I don't think that this 49er offense is going to get anything done this week. I think this is a situation where they kind of get the doors blown off them. So I really don't see myself putting any San Francisco 49er in my lineup.
Scott.
I think J.J. Nelson has been stepping forward. Terrific play. You got to remember that even though you can run historically bad on San Francisco, they have also allowed 18 touchdown passes. I would not be surprised to see Michael Floyd make an appearance in the end zone this week.
Wow.
On the other side of the ball, outside of DeJuan Harris, you can't use anybody. If you use Colin Kaepernick last week, I hope you cut him this week.
Right. I certainly did, Scott. He went.
You
right
got one guy you can use.
Yeah, Tony.
There's
who's
one
that?
Guy in San Francisco. If you want a good cheap tight end, Vance McDonald's only $2,700. They're going to have to throw the ball, and he's made a ton of big plays in this offense. So Vance McDonald, if you want a cheap flyer at the tight end position, $2,700 is under the minimum salary. Usually it's $3,000.
Tony, with all due respect, when you say ton of big plays, are we saying big plays compared to what else they do in the San Francisco offense?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, when Blaine Gabbert was there, they barely caught a pass. So that he has a couple touchdowns there. And, of course, if you get $2,700, what you're looking for a big monster day is 9 fantasy points. That'll be 4 times the value.
Yeah, that's monster in San Francisco, yes.
Pittsburgh and Dallas, guys. Pittsburgh is 2.5-point favorite, Scott.
This is the biggest day game of the week. A lot of people are going to be tuned into this one, but I just think Dallas is still the better team. Pittsburgh's run defense, not as good as it used to be. Ezekiel Elliott's going to be big here. I think they're going to try to get the ball to Dez Bryant for a big play. Roethlisberger not being 100%, Dallas will dominate time of possession. That might drive Pittsburgh numbers down a little bit, but I still like Eli Rogers.
Hey, Tony, Pittsburgh and Dallas.
Yeah, that bothers me is the Dallas controlling the ball here on using Antonio Brown, but I will use Le'Veon Bell today. I think he's the second best running back. It's top heavy this week. I think you got David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Gordon, and then a huge drop off there. I don't like anything from the Dallas side, but Dak Prescott is an intriguing play for me. If you need to use a backup quarterback, the guy that you don't use every week, I think he has a good day against a Steelers secondary.
This is his biggest test to date.
Easily.
Dak Prescott going on the road, terrible towels rocking and rolling. 4:25 p.m. Eastern, the entire NFL watching this. Is this CBS or Fox?
CBS. Fox.
I'm about to say,
Fox,
I got to deal with Phil Simms.
No, so Cowboys are away, so it'll be on Fox.
Okay, so there we
you
go.
You got Buck and Aikman.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, Troy fantastic. Aikman. Troy Aikman. Great.
I love him.
Sure you do.
Ezekiel Elliott, Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is a big four this week. I think you know that Dallas Cowboys want to take the air out the football, pound Zeke against that Steeler defense, excuse me. And as far as the Steelers go, you know what? I do think they have some action this week. I think Tony Romo will be active on, and I think he'll be on the sideline with his uniform on. But I say the Pittsburgh Steelers to win this football game, a 26-23.
I say Dallas 27-20.
Tone?
Dallas 27-24.
I think Pittsburgh wins this football game. Tony Romo will not be active, according to the Cowboys.
That's what they say.
We'll see what happens. Right. Hour number 3 comes your way next.